This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Welcome to Hump Day. It's tough for me to say happy Hump Day, but I hope wherever you're at, hope whatever you're doing, I hope you are safe and well. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. If you didn't know, times are tough for a whole lot of people for a whole lot of reasons, but Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I'm going to be rocking with you for the next 4 hours. This is when I get going, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. That would happen to be every single weeknight. A big shout out to my main man, Stu Kovacs, for helping to put the show together and man it. As we have these discussions, we have plenty to discuss tonight. Plenty to talk about. Obviously, I would say the first sports news of the day that pretty much came through the pipe is the return, even though it's not formal yet, of the NBA season. That it looks like tomorrow we will officially have the return of the NBA. If you haven't heard, I'll go about filling in on the details on that. And then the other news that pretty much dominated the rest of the day and was rather disappointing but not surprising to hear is obviously the comments made by Drew Brees as it relates to kneeling, which is unfortunately something that is off topic, or I should say is more of a distraction when you think about the larger issues here in this country. And I'm sure you've seen and heard a lot about Drew Brees. I've posted my own short opinions already on social media. You can find all of my social media at JR Sport Brief. I've posted my opinion, but I look forward to, having a more robust conversation and sharing or elaborating on more of my opinions on what Drew Brees said later on in the show. That's going to come up in about an hour's time. So before we get into that, because producer Stu, we both have a feeling that that's going to be a dominant topic. You know, a lot of people are going to have a lot of thoughts on that. I want to chat about the NBA before I start talking about Drew. And, as I said, I'll go about discussing that. And as a part of the NBA's almost return, you know, things haven't gotten better for Major League Baseball. OK, the owners have basically rejected the players' offer to have a season that takes up 114 games. Now, that's the reality there. And also, let's think about the actual MLB players. They're not going to play 50 games. So I have zero idea where this middle ground is for Major League Baseball. And the days go by, and there is seemingly less optimism. Because you want to start this season around July 4th. You want to get things going, but they can't even get an agreement together about how many games they want to play, let alone some of these safety factors that's going to allow the games to take place. And let's face it, the World Series is not going to be pushed back. So Major League Baseball continues to look like a joke, while the NBA looks like they want to go ahead and move forward. And we had this discussion last week about what's the best scenario for the NBA to come back. And I said, hey, let's get these 20-odd teams. Let's go ahead and have, a couple of warm-up games, call it the regular season, call it preseason, whatever. Give some of the loser teams an opportunity to play their way in and then go right into the playoffs. Well, I'm going to pat myself on the damn back. I'm not a genius, certainly not. But I'm going to pat myself on the back because that's pretty much what they're going to vote on tomorrow. Okay, the idea, the final idea is for 22 teams to go ahead and enter into Walt Disney World in Florida and restart the season. 13 Western Conference teams, 9 Eastern Conference teams. What's the format? I thought four games would be okay, but no, we're going to have 8 regular season games. And then we may have a tournament for the 8th seed in the playoffs, and then we go right the hell in. All right? Now, how come this is such an odd number? Why are there 13 Western Conference teams? Why are there 9 teams in the East? Well, basically, teams that were within 6 games of the 8th and final spot in the Western and Eastern Conference, they had an ability to basically play in. So who are those teams in the East and West? There's only one team in the East. That happens to be the Washington Wizards. But when you think about the West, who are those teams? Just right outside within 6 games of getting in? New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. And good for them. They should have an opportunity. You're close enough? Go ahead. There was not going to be a perfect situation. There wasn't going to be a perfect scenario for some of the lower seeded teams, or if you were close, to go ahead and get into the playoffs. I mean, you could argue and say, well, why the hell are the Phoenix Suns even there? You know, they got a record of 26-39. Well, what the hell is anybody expecting from them? They'll play a couple of games, and odds are that they'll go right the hell on home. Have some 8 games, and then they can go right back on vacation. You know, in Washington and Orlando, they can pretty much battle it out for that 8th seed, 8th slot, and we can keep it moving. Okay, now, if the 9th seed finishes within 4 games of the 8th, then the 8th seed would enter a double elimination tournament, and the 9th seed would need to lose 1 game to go ahead and be eliminated. So there you have it. If your team was in the playoffs, get ready because they're going to head on down to Disney World. And it's not to go on one of those silly parades. And the same thing in the Western Conference, too. Now, there are quite a few teams that are not happy that they're out on the cold. And my response is, too bad. Get over it. The reality is, any team that is currently going to be in the playoffs, in the NBA playoffs, should be happy that they're there. You deserve it. You know, look, and if you're a fan of the Memphis Grizzlies, be happy you're even still in the discussion. Let's be honest. If you're a Memphis Grizzly fan, what the hell do you expect from the team this year? To get wiped out by the Lakers or the Clippers in the first round? What does it matter to you? That's the first thing. So if your team is in the tournament and you're not happy with the possibility that they may get bumped, too bad. There's a good chance the Memphis Grizzlies, the way they were going to end the season, that they were probably going to end up outside of that 8th slot anyway. And then if you're a young and developing team like the Atlanta Hawks, okay, well, too bad. I'm sorry, Lloyd Pierce, you had an entire season to try to get yourself together. It's bad luck. Guess what? We've all had damn bad luck over the past several months. So you don't get a chance to see Trae Young throw lobs to Clint Capella. Okay, whoop-de-doo. And that is an understanding. That's something that the NBA knows they're fully aware of. And so they may have to enact some type of plan where these teams can have a training camp of some type of sorts. Because let's be realistic. If the NBA Finals are going to end on October 12th at the latest, let's say that's Game 7 of the NBA playoffs, and we don't have a season that gets going again until Christmas or 2021. This is the reality. A team like the Atlanta Hawks, their last game will have been on March 11th. And where they traditionally would have entered into a training camp in September, October, they may be off until the Christmas. And how are you going to develop? How are you going to have players develop if there's no games and this and that? Well, look, too bad. Get over it. That's nobody's fault. Blame the pandemic. Blame the world's issues. Tough. I mean, the reality is, in the NBA, it's pretty clear cut. This isn't almost the NFL when it comes to parity. This isn't Major League Baseball, where you generally, every now and then, will have a wild card team sneak up and, you know, snatch an opportunity at a title. No, it's not. This isn't the lower seed. This isn't a wild card. This isn't a play-in. This isn't the Washington Nationals from the World Series of last year. It's not. It's the NBA playoffs. We pretty much know before the season, you know, if your team is healthy, who's going to have a shot? And then who might have a shot? And then who's going to surprise you, but you expect to be eliminated anyway? Okay? Outside of the Lakers, the Clippers, Denver, I don't expect Utah, maybe Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. I have no idea what their fitness is. After contracting the virus, I would hope that they're back to being able to perform at 100%. You know, I want to see what Houston does. I think they'll be exciting. I don't know if they're going to beat anybody with a roster of 6'5" guards playing all five starting positions. But I'd like to watch. I'd like to see. But we know at the end of the day, the odds favor the Lakers. Milwaukee, the Clippers, Toronto's in that second slot. But how many fans called up last night and said that the Toronto Raptors were lucky last year because of Golden State and all of their injuries? And they had Kawhi Leonard. There's no Kawhi this year. That's all good and fine in the regular season. But is Van Vliet, is Siakam, is he going to be a closer when we get into the playoffs? You know, I've seen Jason Tatum get busy in the playoffs. I've seen him go at LeBron James and do it successfully. How's he going to do it as an all-star with some more seasoning now? You know, Boston may be able to push some folks around. Miami has a little bit of a squad there, but are they too young? You know, Philadelphia, is Ben Simmons actually going to be able to shoot the basketball when they give him space and force him into a half-court game and stop all of the running and gunning? So there are scenarios to pay attention to. But we pretty much know who's going to win. We pretty much know the top teams who have the best odds. So if you're a fan, if you are, you know, a fan of Chicago or Charlotte or the Hawks, and you wanted to see the loser teams finish it out, Minnesota, I don't know why you would want to see it. Too bad. That's the nature. This is what the NBA could do. What would you want? No basketball? This is about the fans. And yes, we have plenty of players, as we saw, who want to go out and compete. There's no doubt about that. But this is about the fans. This is about putting together the best situation. The NBA doesn't need a set of superfluous loser teams out there that are just going to take up space and be eliminated anyway. Go practice. Go home. Stay at your facility. I don't know, run some scrimmages. Yeah, that's not NBA competition, but hey, you had a whole damn season basically before the world went into the toilet for you to go out there and try to win. So prepare for the unexpected. And this happens to be one of those elements. So I agree with what the NBA has done with this scenario for a return to basketball. I like the 8 games. Good. These players should have no reason to, quote unquote, not be in shape. Is it 10, 15, 20 games? Are you getting that full run? No, you're not. But I think 8 games will suffice. All of the teams that were right on the edge, they have an opportunity to get in. Good for them. And then we can get into the meat. Now, the only thing that I am missing here is that first round, and I have no idea. I haven't heard anything about 7 games all the way throughout. I would just love a 5-game series in that first round. I'm still holding out hope. I don't think I'm going to get it. We'll probably get 7 games. And I think this is a good look for the NBA. And by the way, I don't think there's an asterisk towards the conclusion of this season. There is none. No asterisk. We're running straight through. They have an opportunity. They paused. They came back. We're going to crown a champion. I look forward to seeing who the MVP is. We had that conversation last week. Is it Giannis? Is it LeBron James? I want to see that. I want to see what the Houston Rockets can do. I'm excited to see what they try and do in the playoffs. So I think this is a good look. I think this is the best case scenario for the NBA to come back and be competitive. I like it. And I think, once again, the NBA leads the way. MLS is pretty much formalizing their plans to go down to Disney World and pretty much restart their season. The NFL is, they're pretty much wait and see. But if you heard our interview yesterday with Jason Lockenfora, that's not going to be an easy situation and scenario as you transition from training camp into the regular season. The NHL, all we know is that they plan on coming back right into the playoffs. And the NBA, congratulations, they lead the way again. I'm in favor of what they did. It officially should come into play tomorrow once it's voted on, and then it'll become official. But I want to hear from you. The phone lines are open right now, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you agree with what the NBA looks like it's going to do tomorrow? 22-team season, 8-game regular season, possible play-ins for teams that are close, and then go right into the playoffs. Do you like it? Do you feel this left some teams out? Let me know your thoughts. The phone lines are open to you. 855-212-4CBS. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I have opened up the phone lines. We're taking your calls. Are you in favor of how the NBA plans to return to their season? It's not official, but it's expected tomorrow to be official that 22 teams are going to go to the playoffs starting at the end of July. 8 regular season games, possible play-ins for the 8th seed. Okay, if your team is currently within 6 games of the eighth spot in their conference, they're going to have an opportunity. That's New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. And then we go right into the playoffs. All right, what are your thoughts? Is this a fair scenario? Is this a fair situation? Don't move, because in 20 minutes, we're going to have on the line Sekou Smith. Sekou is a writer for NBA.com. He's also an analyst on NBA TV. I see him all in the studio all the time, but it's time to hear from you right now. What do you think? I think this is the best case scenario that the NBA could come up with. They weren't going to appease to everybody. And I think this gives teams that were close a shot, and teams that were already in it, they have an opportunity to get warmed up, and then we can dive right into the playoffs. I think this is best case scenario. The phone lines are open. Our number, 855-212-4CBS, is sponsored by Geico. They've introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's talk to Jake. He's calling up from Sacktown. Jake, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm going, Jake. What do you think?
Oh, well, first off, let me say I am a diehard Kings fan, so seeing Kings basketball this late into the is definitely a huge plus. But the real thing that I want to know is, how is this going to affect next season? And the reason why I'm wondering that, obviously, probably not going to be our year with the Lakers and the Bucks looking as good as they have. But next year, we were going to have a legitimate shot to compete for the postseason, get that 6th, maybe even 7th seed. And so is it going to be a shortened season next year? I didn't have a chance to look over what the proposal was. I was working all day, so I wasn't sure if it addressed next year.
No, it hasn't addressed next year, but I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that, yeah, we're going to have a truncated season next season. It's going to be a shortened season, unless, which I don't necessarily find to be the case, they decide to go ahead and run into the summer. I don't believe that's going to be the case. We may do what we did in 1999, where we have a real shortened season. And, I mean, I understand you're a fan of the Sacramento Kings. Jake, I got to ask you, what the hell are you expecting from them this year and then also next? What's going to be different? Is De'Aaron Fox going to put on 30 pounds of muscle? I mean, what's going on here?
I think it's going to be another year of having Bagley back in the lineup without a ton of injuries. I mean, his chemistry with Fox is obviously going to be growing a lot better. You saw what Rashawn Holmes was able to do in his first year in Sacramento. Now give him a whole offseason to train with these guys and get better, develop a little bit of a better chemistry. We'll have a clearer picture of what's going on at that shooting guard with Bogdan Bogdanovic and Buddy Hield. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to open things up, find a gem in the draft, and hopefully be able to make a deep playoff run within next 2 to 3 years. Because
There you go, Jake.
I'm 25 years old. I've never seen him make a deep playoff run. I was too young back in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. You missed out when the Kings were actually – the Kings had an awesome team. Now, let me tell you something. They were fun as hell watching Chris Webber and Bibby and Peja and White Chocolate. They were – Bobby Jackson. They were a fun group. But I got to be honest with you, Jake. This current roster, this team, this squad ain't getting it done. It's going to take some adjustments in a few years for them to actually go on a move. A big part of it, as you had mentioned, is, I mean, when you're shuffling Buddy Hield in and out of the lineup and between Bogdan, I mean, there's a lot of question marks, but I'm glad you have faith. Listen, if De'Aaron can get healthy, stay healthy, if he can get some help, the same with Bagley, and, you know, it's going to be a few years, but just don't anticipate it over the next two, Jake, okay?
Hey, you know what? De'Aaron Fox is going to be an all-star next year. You can book that.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. That would be great for that'd be great for him. Let's talk to Mark in Louisiana. Mark, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
Yeah, all right, man. I enjoy listening to you, brother. You're doing a good job.
Thank you, Mark.
I want the season to resume, and you know, and I've been missing that basketball. I'd like to see the Lakers make it to the finals and beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, so listen, if the Los Angeles Lakers face off against the Bucks, who do you have?
Well, you know, I love the Lakers, so I have to say them. But, I mean, I don't – it would be like a toss-up probably. You know, I do think the Clippers would be – it's going to be a hard team to beat, though, in the West. And I don't know, maybe the Celtics would challenge the Bucks or the Sixers. I'm not sure who the second team is on the east side and that, but – when is the season going to resume, actually going to start again?
July 31st. You can go ahead and put that on your calendar. That is the presumed start date.
All right, brother. God bless you, man.
All right, thank you so much. Shout outs to Mark in Louisiana. Thank you for calling up. Yeah, it's going to be tricky. I ultimately think that we're going to have the Lakers and the Bucks. I would have liked to seen the Clippers play a few more games, actually get some cohesion together. I mean, both the Lakers and the Clippers added their own Morris twins. You have Markeith and Marcus. And I just think the Clippers have had too many injuries. The players haven't played enough, and I think that is the one detriment against them. It'd be interesting to see how the Lakers play throughout the playoffs. It'd be interesting to see what exactly the Milwaukee Bucks do. You know, they have talent. They have the shooters surrounding Giannis. But if Giannis has an off series, I think it becomes easy. I'm not going to say easy, but it becomes easier for a team like the Lakers to go ahead and take the victory. This will be their first time. There aren't too many players that go to the playoffs or go to the finals their first go-round and just win. It doesn't happen. A lot of times you have to get over a hump. And Giannis didn't even get to the hump last year. In the playoffs, he didn't get to the finals. In this season, I could see him getting sunned by LeBron. That's just the realities of it. And that's not to say that a team like the Boston Celtics, who are also full of talent, don't provide some pushback. You do have a team with continuity from last season, even with Kawhi gone, like the Toronto Raptors, who are still out there. So it's not going to be a cakewalk for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's not going to be a cakewalk for the Los Angeles Lakers, and just even having this conversation right now is exciting just to think about the possibilities. We're going to have something to watch in the summertime. Let's actually mark that down, that NBA basketball is going to be back in the summer. We haven't even spoken about what they plan to do with the presentation of the games, etc. I don't know. I have no idea. Besides, okay, maybe fan noise and miking guys up, and that'll be a question that I ask Sekou Smith. Because I certainly haven't heard from my buddies at the NBA as to what the presentation's going to look like. Sekou may have an answer. But outside of that, I'm glad we're going to have the games back. I hope that we can watch basketball go off without a hitch. I hope that these players can stay healthy. I hope the trainers and everyone who's going to be helping to pull these games together, the staff, the production crews, the athletics, the referees, the management, I hope everybody can stay healthy. Besides that, I'm glad that we have some solid dates back to get some basketball. I hope that we can run into October and go ahead and crown that champion. And it's something that I am very much looking forward to. And I think this was best case scenario for the NBA to come back and return this season. So don't go anywhere, because in 10 minutes, we're going to be chatting it up with Sekou Smith. He's an NBA writer. He's an NBA analyst on NBA TV. He's going to also have some more answers and details as it relates to the return of the NBA. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about the return of the NBA. The Board of Governors vote tomorrow. It looks like it's going to be official. 22 teams heading to Orlando, Disney World at the end of the July to pretty much launch the NBA season. Okay, now in the meantime, if you're looking for something to watch immediately, I want to let you know that tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, you can get connected on CBS Sports Network. Okay, we got tons of big names and big surprises. This week, we got Tony Hawk and Andre Drummond of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're joining Evan Washburn via Zoom. It only goes down on the CBS Sports Network. Okay, make sure you tune in for that. But right now on the line to discuss the return of the NBA and all of the intricacies that are involved in that, we have Mr. Sekou Smith joining us. He is a writer for NBA.com as well as an analyst on NBA television. Sekou, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Jared. What's happening?
I'm good, man. I can't wait to actually physically see you in the studio. It feels too long, man.
I know, man. It's this hiatus has been most unruly. The suspension of the season and also what we're dealing with now in the larger society has been a double gut punch, man. I'm looking forward to the season getting back on track.
Likewise. What are your thoughts on the proposed plan? It looks like, in my opinion, I think this is pretty much the best case scenario. You give the teams that were in playoff position an opportunity. Teams that were right on the fringe still have a chance, and then we can go into the playoffs. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I would have been happy with the 16 playoff teams in a traditional format, to be honest with you. I was thinking that would be the basis for whatever you did. The fact that the proposal includes 22 teams, it allows for the resumption of some of the regular season for, you know, certain teams, and an opportunity to play your way into the playoff mix is excellent. For teams like Portland, the Pelicans, the Suns, even the Wizards. I mean, you know, just the opportunity to get in there and see if you can make something happen. And you know, engineer an upset is the kind of incentive you want to go into an offseason with if you're one of those teams that would have been down the stretch of the regular season, you'd have been in the hunt anyway.
We're chatting up with Sekou Smith, NBA writer and analyst. Sekou, how does this potentially affect teams that aren't going to be able to go down to Florida? Let's say a team like the Hawks or the Knicks, they're going to have almost a 9-month break potentially before they get ahead. They go ahead and start a season. Are there going to be any bumpers that allows them to not be rusty?
You know, it's tough. I don't know what you could do to facilitate that for them. Normally you have, a summer league and a free agent camp where your young guys can come in and get some work before, you know, July cranks up with all of the summer league action in Vegas. That obviously won't be a part of this, you know, resumption plan. So one of the things you got to do, JR, is you got to rely on your program and your culture and then the drive and grind of your young guys to come in and get better with an extended layoff, you know, with that extra few months to prepare themselves. One thing it does is keeps everybody healthy. You know, you would hope that guys would be healthier going into the offseason than normal. But the other thing is they got to be laser-focused on getting better improving their games, working with your player development program, and knowing what they they've seen so far in their time in the league, they should know by now exactly where their deficiencies are and where they have to work.
Sekou Smith is on the line with us. That's for the younger teams. What are the larger implications for next season and then also the draft and the lottery? Is this going to take place between October and November? Do we immediately move into a truncated season next year? What have you heard in that regard?
Well, those are the details that we haven't really heard a ton about. You know, there's so much focus on getting back to actually playing. We'll find out what the, you know, new normal offseason looks like, because speaking with some GMs and executives from other teams that won't be going to Orlando to participate, they haven't been able to do their normal offseason prep, their pre-draft prep, you know, scouring, you know, the foreign leagues for talent to bring in and evaluate during the summer. So everybody's schedule has been kicked off. I even talked to some international coaches who said that all of their work has been truncated by what's going on with the NBA season. We forget the fact that the rest of the basketball ecosystem feeds off of the NBA. It's a top-down system and what goes on in the NBA. So it's going to be very interesting. I think, you know, you think about who would be benefiting the most from that extended off time. I would tell you that the Golden State Warriors are going to be a team that everybody's going to have to watch out for next year, because not only will their guys have gotten some general rest that they would have gotten in the regular offseason, but now Steph and Draymond, these guys get extra months to recharge their batteries after all these straight trips to the finals. The Warriors, with Klay back, with KD going and out of the picture, and you know, that to me becomes a really interesting team to watch going into the next season.
NBA.com and NBA TV analyst Sekou Smith is on the line with us right now. Sekou, you talk about how the Golden State Warriors will be in a good position next season, coming back at full strength. I mean, over the past month, we have heard whispers, whether or not it comes to fruition or not, that a team like the Brooklyn Nets, who weren't at full strength this past season, may have an opportunity to see a Kevin Durant, a Kyrie Irving return from injury. Now that it looks like the season will run from the end of July until maybe the middle of October, what do you think about the odds or chances of them participating, or is this still a lost year in Brooklyn?
I don't think it's a lost year so much as I think it's a long shot for those guys to compete. We look at the end date and see October 12th, but that will require the Nets to make it all the way to the finals and to game seven of the finals. So that, I think we got to be careful staring at that calendar end date and assuming that all these teams are going to have a chance to make it there. It's still the usual suspects when you talk about trying to win a championship, even in this surreal season. But I think if Kevin Durant and or Kyrie Irving were able to get back on the floor at some point during the resumption of the season, that would change everything. In the East, it would change everything. If John Wall were able to somehow find his way to the floor and participate for the Wizards, that would make them a much more dangerous team to deal with in Orlando. So there's all sorts of things that we won't know probably until July 1st and beyond, who's, you know, healthy enough to get back on the floor for which teams and be a factor. You think about, you know, Utah losing Bogdanovich. You know, that's going to impact the way that team performs in Orlando. So many different teams with variables going on. Houston and their crew and who's healthy, who's not. The trade they made, you know, and the small ball operation they got going on. There's a lot of intrigue left in this season, JR, and it's going to get cranked up here pretty soon.
I can't wait to actually tune in. Sekou, do you think that there are any teams in particular that do have an edge, that do have a little bit of continuity from maybe last season and also the regular season, that may be able to go on a run under these unusual circumstances?
Well, I think, you know, you start out with the incumbent powers, obviously. You know, Milwaukee in the East, Toronto in the East, the Lakers and Clippers in the West, to me, are going to go in with the kind of advantages you'd expect of the top teams. The one team I'm keeping my eye on to see how they've managed this downtime is Denver, because they were a team that was kind of up and down, performing at a high level 1 minute, and they would struggle a little bit. But then you look at the standings, and they're right where they expected themselves to be, battling out for one of those top spots in the West. If they come back energized, healthy, focused, I think they could be a team that's really dangerous. You know, and then we're talking about, again, a completely different calendar they're working with. So it'll be, you know, a lot of adjustments that will have to be made by teams, by coaching staffs, you know, and organizations in terms of how you manage playing at this satellite location. I think that's going to be a huge wrinkle that every team involved will have to deal with.
Chatting it up with Sekou Smith, NBA analyst. We talk about the teams who are sitting at the top of the standings and have the best chance of going forward. What are these play-in games or potential play-in games? What is this going to mean for a squad like New Orleans or Sacramento or Phoenix, who are even a little bit further out? I mean, they're six games away, but what is this going to mean for them? Is this going to be, hey, I'm showing up for eight games and I'm likely going home, or does this have longer-term implications, do you think?
I think it actually has longer-term implications. I think it's a chance to develop young players. DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix, remember, he missed so many games to start the season, so he's a guy. This extra work for him is fantastic if you're the Suns trying to develop your franchise big man and get him in a position to be a factor to help you make playoff runs in the future. Same goes for Zion Williamson, you know, with the Pelicans. Any opportunity that Zion gets to get on the floor this year is a bonus for New Orleans, and I think it's a bonus for us as fans.
Absolutely.
We were just digging in and watching him and seeing the explosive athleticism and playmaking ability he has. And then it got cut short. So now we'll get a chance to go back and see, is he really what we thought he was in the little glimpse we got, which was outstanding. Same for John Morant with the Grizzlies. Anytime you have an opportunity to compete in a win or go home situation, I think you find out a lot of things about your young guys, what they're capable of, what they're ready for, where they maybe are lacking. All of those things become an evaluation tool for these teams. Not only watching the rest of the league, JR, but watching their own team intently.
There's no doubt about that. And my last question to you, Sekou, we have heard pretty much that health is most important. We want to go ahead and make sure this happens, where all players are and everybody involved stays healthy. What is the confidence level of the Players Association in conjunction with the NBA that will be the case? I know they've procured plenty of tests. Adam Silver has stated that we wouldn't do this if we weren't comfortable. What is the overall consensus right now? Are people kind of okay with where testing ranks in health?
Well, I think everybody is cautiously optimistic. And Adam Silver's right. The Players Association, they wouldn't have signed on to this. The owners wouldn't have. Nobody's going to put anything above the health and safety of players, coaches, you know, league officials, referees, and everybody involved. That's why they're doing it the way they are. They could have come up with a number of different contingencies, but they felt like the campus environment or bubble environment, whatever you want to call it, in Orlando made the most sense. But the testing should be rigorous. It'll be daily for people that are involved in the games and being in, you know, in the immediate atmosphere of that gym, whichever building you're in. And, I think the health and safety becomes the number one component and the biggest fear factor for anybody when you're talking about resuming. And all the sports that are coming back, they're all going to be facing their own different scenarios in terms of testing daily for the coronavirus and keeping everybody healthy, because that's the big question mark is if somebody does test positive, how do you adjust? How do you, stay on your feet and adjust, go along with however that impacts specific teams or games? I mean, those are all things you're going to have to worry about, and it's going to be the burden of the league. So it's a reason that the NBA waited as long as they have to announce this and to call for a vote, and I think it'll be on everybody's mind, priority number one, the health and safety of everybody involved in Orlando.
Well, you said it. It's number one. Hopefully we can go ahead and have this season go off with any major glitches, and that everybody participating can be pretty much and stay healthy. Sekou, I appreciate you joining in. Sekou Smith from NBA TV, an analyst and also a writer on NBA.com. Sekou, where can people keep up with you, my man?
Oh, man, we're still cranking away on NBA.com, JR. You know, the Hangtime Podcast is out every week on NBA.com and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can find a podcast. Listen, I'm going to have to call you. I've been in quarantine all this time. I know you do the thick beard all
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.